I'm Bill Reitler, producer of Breakpoint, and thanks for listening to the Breakpoint podcast. Today we present Cheryl Batchelder's outstanding presentation at the 2018 William Wilberforce Weekend on the topic of sacred calling. Cheryl is the former CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen and author of Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. Cheryl argues that servant leadership is a concept as ancient as Scripture, but one that is sadly lacking and absolutely necessary in today's business world. Here is Cheryl Batchelder, as introduced by Colson Center Board Chairman Doug Napier.
Well, our next speaker that we're privileged to have with us tonight is Cheryl Batchelder. And Cheryl is a passionate, purpose-led business leader. She served as the CEO of Popeye's Louisiana Kitchen from 2007 to 2017. And she's also the author of a new book called Dare to Serve, How to Drive Superior Results by Serving Others. You know, in today's marketplace, it's really rare that you hear anybody talk about servant leadership in the corporate world. But she has focused her life on renewing this practice of servant leadership in the marketplace and living it out and living out the principles of her Christian faith in business and all areas of her life. She has a very impressive work history, and let me read to you a few of the things that she's done in her career. She's been involved with brand leadership at Yum Brands, at Domino's Pizza, RJR Nabisco, the Gillette Company, and Procter & Gamble. I don't know about you, when I read that, I get hungry. I want to go do laundry and shave. Cheryl holds a bachelor's degree and an MBA from the Kelley School of Business at Indiana University. One of her greatest achievements, she's been married for 36 years to Chris, who's here with us tonight. And they have three grown daughters, two sons-in-law, two grandsons. And Cheryl and Chris live in Atlanta, and they attend the Buckhead Church. So please join me in welcoming Cheryl Batchelder.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I don't know if any of you are feeling my pain following Pastor Stone Street and comedian Eric. Clearly, I drew the short straw. But here's the good news for you. I end on time. Just kidding. So, you know, when John called me, I thought, What a cool conference. I looked at this title that he gave us. I'm back up here. Sacred Calling, to Create, Confront, and to Care. And I thought, I want to be at a place that's talking about that. And now looking at the agenda you're going to have already started tonight and all day tomorrow, you are in for such a treat to be challenged by people and confronted by people that are living out their calling. It's going to be inspiring, it may even be a little overwhelming, but boy, you're going to go home with some kind of discontent about sacred calling in your life. But right now, I'm guessing a few of you are wondering, what in the does chicken and biscuits have to do with calling? And some of you are probably even thinking, I've done the work of the devil by selling this good food. But I'm going to try to convince you, my skeptics, that in fact this is a story of sacred calling that's unexpected, but was very much God's idea and his plan. And yes, it included running 2,600 restaurants in 26 countries. That's where my sacred calling ended up being in this life. When I look back on it, I think it actually came out of this idea I heard Pastor Andy Stanley mentioned. He said, look around as you look for your calling, look for what breaks your heart, because that's often where you find what breaks God's heart. That was really true for me. I looked around at the business leaders of my generation, and I was gravely disappointed. I looked at leaders that espouse self-interest over concern for others. I looked at magazine covers covered with people with moral failures, business failures. And I said, certainly, there must be something better. You know, Gallup has been measuring people's experience in the workplace for the last 18 years. I don't think it's ever been done before that. But for the entire 18 years, 70% of people have described their jobs as miserable. That breaks my heart. Now, I do think God has been trying to get our attention about this concept called servant leadership, maybe for 2,000 years. But we haven't listened very well. Robert Greenleaf wrote about it in the secular world 40 years ago, quite prolifically and quite well. And he said there are leaders who lead first. They largely assume power for the benefit of their own ambitions. At the other extreme, there are leaders who serve first. They also assume a position of power, but for the benefit of the people entrusted to their care. And the test of their leadership is, are the people better off after they leave? Best-selling books have been written, so I didn't have to write a book. Jim Collins wrote a great one. Many of you have it on your bookshelf. He put forth this idea of level 5 leadership. He told me once he just didn't want to say the word servant leadership. Level 5 leadership is somebody who has a terrifying iron will and ambition for the enterprise, not for themselves. Those were Jim Collins' words. More recently, Adam Grant from Wharton wrote Give and Take. And both these men put treatises on the table with research facts that say leaders who serve outperform leaders who take. And yet, I can tell you by speaking on this subject every week to our young people, they keep asking me, if this is so great, where are these leaders? Well, one day my world was rocked. I was reading the introduction to this anthology on moral business. And in the foreword, you don't even have to read the 600 or 800 pages, the writer in the foreword, Dr. Max Stackhouse from Princeton Theological Seminary, wrote these words in 1995. When I read them halfway through my career, they caught my attention. He said this. He said, the steeples of the churches are now dwarfed by the towers of industry. People now say they learn more at work than they did at school. The corporation reaches across cultures, and it binds together people of diverse backgrounds and new global networks of interdependence and exchange. And then he goes on to describe, he said, you know, some of our institutions are failing. And he mentioned education and government, the family, even the church. And he concluded this, he said, increasingly, business leaders will be the stewards of civilization. He said the burden of leadership in the next century is likely to fall on business leaders in a way that has never before been the case in human history. I highlighted that, and I didn't read another page. Those words became engraved in my psyche that business leaders had a calling. In fact, we might even be important in the stewardship of civilization. And I decided to confront culture with the idea of servant leadership. I wanted to help leaders become God's full vision of their purpose. I wanted them to live out their lives in leadership with competence and character for all the world to see. So you see, when I got this phone call to run Popeyes, I determined that that was God's calling or God's platform to create just one example of servant leadership in action. Now, I loved this brand. I've been in the food industry most of my career, and I thought the people working in this company were amazing, but that's not why I took the job. It really was this one idea that we could create a case study on how serving others drives superior performance. I felt that was my sacred calling. Over 9 years, the Popeyes leadership team led a transformation of this company, and we trained up thousands of business leaders with this purpose statement to inspire servant leaders to achieve superior results. Very simple words, but very new in culture. So where did we begin? Well, things weren't going too well when we got there. Maybe that's why we got the opportunity. Sales had been down 7 years. Guest counts were declining. Profitability was low. The share price had dropped from $32 to $13. I mean, what better time for God to run an experiment in servant leadership? Well, I think he wanted it to be a compelling story. So let me tell you what it looked like. Short story, Cliff Notes, 9 years. The first thing we did was this. We declared a really courageous, daring destination for the company, and I think this is an important foundation. We had to have a transformational business plan. We called it the Roadmap to Results, because we viewed our leadership as a stewardship responsibility to take the people somewhere and transform this company. We treated it no differently than Joshua may have thought about taking the Israelites to the Promised Land. It was serious work, and it required courage. You know, in that passage where Joshua's called, God says, be strong and courageous, and he says it 3 times, I think because maybe he was scared. We have to be scared to do God's calling. We have to be bold. The second thing we decided to do is we decided to choose to serve. This was the premise of servant leadership. We would choose to make the measure of our success how well we served others. And we had to have a really long debate about who we would serve. There were all these people on the list that we were expected to serve well. But we decided to focus on the franchise owners of Popeyes as the single most important people we would serve. And here's why. When we looked around, nobody had more at stake. They had invested in the property and the buildings, hired the people, trained the people, served the food, and given back generously in their communities. We couldn't find anybody else more worthy of serving than the franchise owners. Now, that may sound very straightforward. If you understand franchising, that's probably what you're supposed to do. But here's the other insight we had to have. We had to actually love the people that we were charged with leading. Now, I don't know if you've ever met a franchise owner, but there's some days they're not all that lovable. They call you up and they yell at you. They're emotional, they're passionate, they do have a lot on the line. They tell you that very frequently. They can be unpleasant. But we looked at one another and said, you know what, this is going to be a hard path to choose, but we are going to go out there today and start loving on these people. And loving means action, not a feeling. Loving means listening, taking their ideas into account, hearing out their criticism, and maybe even acting on it for a change. When we got to the end of this road, we summed it up this way. We called it Dare to Serve Leadership. And we said, here's what it looks like. A Dare to Serve leader has the courage to take the people on a daring destination, and yet the humility to serve them well on that journey. And in fact, it's the tension between the daring and the serving that creates the conditions for people to thrive and perform and create superior results. We did create results, and I'm going to pause on that a moment. Because sometimes in Christian circles, I'm criticized for mentioning the results. Results are considered a secular concept, something of the world, perhaps not of God. But I believe performing well is also a sacred idea, because the business has to perform or you cannot serve the people well. Therefore, we chose to care enough about the people to perform. They were entrusted to our leadership. We dared, we served, and we performed on their behalf. Well, how did the story end? Well, I'm going to tell you a few of the numbers. But more important than that, I want to tell you that they are far more impressive than anything we foresaw at the beginning of this story. They are far more impressive than any of our individual skills. And I believe they're impressive because God had a story he wanted to tell through us. And he wanted it to be compelling. Maybe he even wanted it to Wake up Wall Street and let them know that serving performs. So here we go. The restaurant results, sales up 45%, profit doubled, restaurant growth 1,000 restaurants. Franchisees rated us the best leadership in the franchise industry with 95% satisfaction ratings for 8 straight years. And yeah, I gave you a sneak preview. The stock went up too. I heard Eric say amen. This was actually the day amen. The company was sold a year ago at $79. And the only reason I tell you that, it was the highest multiple ever paid for a restaurant chain. So we got a platform, a credibility among financial investment world people to talk about how we did it. And that platform, as I've told you, was servant leadership. So we did all that while selling you the most delicious chicken in the world. I want to tell you one more part of the story that's not told by the media, and it's relevant to what you're here to talk about this weekend. Beneath the teaching of servant leadership is the teaching of sacred calling. And that doesn't happen very often in publicly held secular companies. But here's something we did at Popeyes. We taught every leader how to discover their purpose, their calling. We called it a class. Every team member took a leadership class called Journey to Personal Purpose because we believed that helping them unlock their unique design, beliefs, and their life experiences and how they could bring those to the workplace would improve their life, draw them into some really interesting conversations, and create the outcomes that we just discussed. So we went through this process that I'll take you through very quickly. We asked each person to look at their strengths using either Strength Finder by Don Clifton or Standout by Marcus Buckingham, both Christian men, who created tools to point people towards their God-given design. And I'll tell you what, in business, there aren't very many people that end up at work understanding that. Few have been told they've been created for a purpose. Few people think they have a unique design, and it certainly isn't coming from their homes and their schools and communities. To know God, that He designed you, that He has a plan and a purpose for your life, can you imagine that we actually implied that, taught that in the public sector? I just love the way God spoke to Jeremiah about calling. When Jeremiah heard from the Lord, the call on his life. He said, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations.'" Have you considered your own design in light of those words? And have you considered that you could teach others in your workplace calling? I want to challenge you to that. The second activity we did in the secular world is we taught a values activity to sort out which values you wanted to be evident in your work. We used John Maxwell's value cards. They're actually more like belief statements. And then we started interesting conversations, often got to faith fairly quickly as people contemplated what they wanted to be remembered for in the workplace. You know, people are really on a spiritual formation journey, whether they know it or not, because God's after them. Sometimes we can draw it to their attention. And I don't know about you. My come to Jesus moment was in eighth grade. It wasn't as dramatic as Eric's. It was in a congregational eighth grade confirmation class. But I did stand before that congregation and give my testimony. And I would tell you that's the day my life changed. But I bet, much like you, it was lots of years of growth and discipleship and insights gained from the Word in the years to come. I would tell you that in the workplace, we have the opportunity to steward people that way, go with them through life, help them see their beliefs coming to life in the workplace, and have these really interesting soul conversations. The third exercise was always the most powerful. And it's really simple. We took a blank piece of paper and drew some boxes on it and said, share with us your life experiences that are formative to who you are today. Just 3 to 5. And the ones you'd be comfortable sharing. We don't ask you to tell us things you don't want to tell us about. Interestingly, hardly anybody put on this piece of paper successes, wins, celebrations. No. Instead, what we saw on these pieces of paper were sufferings, pains, and trials that shape people into who they are today. I now call these the treasures of pain, because I believe it's one of the important ways that God reveals our calling to us. I just have 2 pain points that landed on my chart the first time I did this, just to share with you how this works. One was a health scare. When my children were 10 and 15, I experienced breast cancer. 1 in 8 women do. It didn't run in my family, though, and it was certainly not in my type A personality life plan. So I was pretty shocked with the information and not very excited about it. But I'll tell you what, more than the illness, what it did was call me to an understanding of God's purpose in my life. And it did it this way. It reminded me, you know what? I'm definitely not in control of this thing called cancer. And that means I'm not really in control of anything. Cancer brought me to my knees, to the end of myself, and the beginning of understanding how God wanted to use the rest of my life. But he wasn't done. He had another one. I got fired right after that. And not quietly, in the headlines of the business section of the Louisville Courier Journal. Former president of KFC. To be honest with you, this was actually a more difficult trial for me than breast cancer because it's such a public failing, such humility. Even my kids had to answer questions about it. But once again, it reminded me that I'm not in control. It brought me to the end of myself and a truer understanding of what God was going to do in the rest of my life. During this season, I read this passage that I just have to read it to you because we can't talk about sacred calling without these words being in the room this weekend. While I was sitting in, I don't know, radiation treatment or something like that, I read the first page of The Purpose-Driven Life. And some of you will remember these words. I've never forgotten them. The purpose of your life, it's not about you. The purpose of your life, it's far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, or even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. For you were created, born by his purpose and for his purpose. I don't know about you, but those words went deep, clarified my calling, kind of got me out of the chair, got me back on the street, working with God to understand his plans and purposes. So back to the story of Popeyes. We brought this whole personal purpose thing together with an actual purpose statement for every employee. And they shared it with their supervisor, their peers, and their team. And in this process, we got to know people really well. We formed relationships that went deep. And that gave us the privilege and the opportunity for influence in the lives of those we serve. So I just challenge you to do the same for yourself first. Review your birth, your faith, your life experiences, your pain points, and make sure you know you have clarity around God's calling in your life, where he wants you to serve him. You know, it's not about the size and scale of your work, and it's not about your capability or your giftedness. It's about your obedience to hear him, follow him, and serve him. Well, I think you can see that I have a lot of conviction about sacred calling, even though I've sold a lot of chicken. I believe you can have a sacred calling wherever God has you firmly planted if you discover his plans and his purposes and give him your very best for the remaining days. Now, my little Katie gave me a little bit of teaching on this point. I was about 38 years old. At that point, I kind of already knew I had this calling for leadership in the marketplace. So I'm out attending all the leadership conferences that are in print. And this day, I was at Stephen Covey's Seven Habits. And as I always did, I called home to talk to my family, and Katie was the first person I talked to, so I lunged in and told her all that we were doing to learn about leadership that day. She was three. But true to Katie, she was a very patient listener, and she finally says, "Well, Mom, that's great. I went to Vacation Bible School today, and here's the verse I have for you, John 13:16. Now that you know these things, Mom, you'll be blessed if you do them." Yeah, clap for Katie, because that was 24 years ago, and I've carried those words forward every day. It's a life verse for me. I pray that it speaks to you as well. What are you doing for God's plan and purposes to bring glory to his name? That's what I want to leave you encouraged to do. To God be the glory for the things he has done.
Thanks for listening to the Breakpoint Podcast. We'll be sharing more presentations from this year's William Wilberforce Weekend over the next few months. This year's conference was a sellout, so plan ahead for next year. You can register for next year's conference today and receive a significant early bird discount. Just go to wilberforceweekend.org.